This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, November 9th, 2022, the Feast of the Dedication of the Lateran Basilica, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells within you? May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. In that line from the second reading today, from 1 Corinthians, know you not that you are the temple of God? You. In English, you can mean you as an individual. It can mean you as collective. Mean you, a lot of persons, you. What does it mean when the Lord says, know you not that you are the temple of God? It means all of those things. In this particular reading here, our Lord is emphasizing that the Corinthian local church is the temple of God, the Spirit dwelling in them. In Corinthians chapter 6, he speaks, know you not that you are members, as members are the temple of God and the Holy Ghost. Here he speaks about you as an individual. You as an individual are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, you are fellow citizens with the saints, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Here, the you is the universal church, the Catholic Church in general. It's all of these things. This is how the Holy Spirit works. This is how our Lord Jesus Christ has given us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into the church that Jesus Christ established, and he gives himself to individuals through the church. Nobody is infused by the Holy Spirit on their own. Nobody can baptize themselves. This is impossible. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? Through baptism. And where do we receive baptism? Generally speaking, through the church. But even if you don't receive it through the church, you receive it through the hands of another person who baptizes, meaning they use the words, they use the water, and they have the intent to do what the church does. So, no individual has the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is kind of contradicts all of your Protestant friends who like me and the Holy Spirit kind of thing. It's not you as an individual and the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit through the church, and then he gives himself to us. This makes us living temple. This is where everything comes together. The Holy Spirit does indwell each and every one of us as individuals. The Holy Spirit does dwell within each individual local parish. And the Holy Spirit does indwell as the soul of the universal church. This Holy Spirit is the soul of the church. The church is an institution, a divine institution that our Lord Jesus Christ established to be animated by a soul. The soul is the Holy Spirit. This is what we need to understand when our Lord says that you are the temple of God and that Spirit of God dwells in you as individuals, as members of local parishes, and as Catholics. This is the message that St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is trying to give us. This should give us pause to think about how tremendously special we are. And I was going to start out by saying, don't let it puff you up. It should, in a sense, puff us up. It should, in a sense, make us understand, in a very holy way, be proud of the fact that God Almighty himself dwells within you constantly. And we receive the Eucharist. Those Eucharistic forms, they bring divinity within our side, but then the Eucharistic forms go away. This is why we need to receive the Eucharist frequently. Okay, because it strengthens us. But the Holy Spirit dwells within us all the time. This is why I say, I was going to start out by saying, don't let it puff you up. It should puff you up. You should be proud about it. You should take great joy in the fact that God indwells you. But this is where it really becomes telling is the responsibility that you have as being a temple of the Holy Spirit. This is what makes sin, particularly moral sins, sins against our body. When we commit sins like that, then we are denigrating the very house of God itself. This is the reality St. Paul tries to drive home in another part of Corinthians when he talks about immorality. He says, don't you know that when you sin in a moral sense like that, physically with someone, you denigrate the house of God and you invite other spirits within you, evil spirits. And what do evil spirits have to do with God? Nothing. This is why moral sins, particularly in a physical sense, sensual sins are so egregious, is because we are actually desecrating the temple of God. St. Paul emphasizes after that one in Corinthians 6, know you not that you are the members of the temple of the Holy Ghost? How can we denigrate the temple of God? You are not your own, he goes on to say. You've been bought with a price. It was a heavy price, the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the price that was paid for the house. It was the, let us say, the holy real estate deal that Jesus did. He paid with the price of his life the fact that you will have the Holy Spirit indwell you, his Holy Spirit. And when we think about that, and then we think about sins that we commit against the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, this is wherein we should really be convicted of these things. This is why it is so serious. This is why sins like that are so pointed in the scriptures and in Catholic moral teaching. It's not because you're messing up and not dotting I's and crossing T's. It's because you're denigrating the blessed house of the Holy Spirit. This is the reality here. But with that being said, you know, we always have to understand that in this world, because the church is an establishment in this world, there are things in this world that are part and parcel to the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and that's the place where we worship God. That's the place where he is, the places where he is in a very particular way. God's people have always designated particular places because God is there in a particular way. We see that from the book of Genesis. It is scripture. This is what we celebrate when we celebrate the dedication of different places of worship in the history of Catholicism. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28, Jacob, the whole Jacob's ladder, that story. Jacob sees a ladder, he sees angels ascending and descending on the in this night vision that he has. And when he wakes up in the morning, he says, indeed the Lord is in this place. And trembling, he said, how terrible is this place? This is no other but the house of God and the gate of heaven. And Jacob took the stone which he had laid under his head and set it up for a title, pouring oil upon the top of it. Jacob consecrated that place because he had a vision of God. It was so overwhelming to him that he knew that that vision was, in a special way, God's presence at that place, the house of God, Bethel. You see that in Hebrew, a lot of Hebrew synagogues. Bethel, that's what that means, the house of God. This is where we get this idea. Again, it's from the book of Genesis, where God is particularly present. We particularly bless those places. Not because we want to, because we should want to, first and foremost, but because God tells us to. God knows where he is particularly to be found in this world. Exodus chapter 3, Moses and the burning bush. Oh, the bush is burning and it's not consumed. Let me go see this wondrous sight. He goes walking over. Moses, here I am. Come not near. Put off the shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. God lets us know that there are particular places in this world that are very special. This theophany, this vision of the burning bush made it a particularly special place. And then we have the gospel tonight. They used to be caught up that stuff in the Old Testament, but now we have Jesus and we're not hung up on that stuff anymore. Really? Like he was? What was the story today? People selling and buying, conducting commerce in the house of God, where they're supposed to be praying and worshiping God. In the God-man himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, the personification of grace and mercy, makes a whip and beats the people out of the temple. Drives them out and then goes back and knocks over their change and kicks their tables over. That's Jesus' zeal for the temple of God, where God was just there because that's where the people gathered to worship at God's behest. How much more should we respect the structures in which God is present under the sacramental forms of the Eucharist? How much more should we respect and have zeal where God is not there in a vision at night? He is not there in a burning bush symbolically. He is not there just because people gather together, but he is truly and objectively present in our churches where the Blessed Sacrament is reserved. And people come in and they act like they're in a club. They clap for one another. They talk amongst themselves in the presence of divinity itself. This should be overwhelming to us. Absolutely overwhelming that this occurs. This is why it's not a matter of disconcerting. It's not a matter of disturbing. This is why this should be sickening to the Catholic. Absolutely sickening to see what goes on in so many parishes before our Lord. That is, of course, if you're before the Lord when you walk in there and he's not relegated over to some closet on the side. Okay, this is his house. When you come in here, he should be dead center. And you should act like God is there because he is. In a much more profound and real sense than these other people who, just because of a night vision, trembled and made mention that this is a terrible place because it's where God is. This is something that we've lost. Now, on this day in which the feast day of the Lateran Basilica in Rome. The Lateran Basilica, well, I've never heard of that one. Where the Lateran Basilica is the first church. When we think of churches as we do now, for centuries, people had been worshiping in graveyards, in houses, in the catacombs. But this was the first church, the first place that had been built opulently to worship our God and Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. It was the first church that bore an image of our Lord publicly. There had never been a public place where a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ had been displayed as it was in the Lateran. This is the place where the wooden altar that Peter and the subsequent popes that were martyred, they had initially a wooden altar that was like a box so they could move it around and celebrate Mass in those graveyards, in the catacombs, or in people's houses. And it was set up in the Lateran Basilica. This is a place where God is in a particularly special way. not only in his presence in the Eucharist, but in the presence of its initial glory as being the first church, so to speak, again, given our definition of the word. All these things said, we need to appreciate it, no matter how humble a chapel may be. If our Lord Jesus Christ is present there, body, blood, soul, and divinity under the sacramental forms, then we should act like he's there like that. It's like, oh, this is just a little place. If Jesus Christ is present in the smallest and most humble chapel, it is, if you are in his presence there, as if you were in St. Peter's Basilica or in the Lateran Basilica in Rome, in Jesus' presence. Why? Because Jesus is present there. This is the reality of what we do or should understand, and subsequently the things that we should do when we come into these places. Because they are, as Jacob says, terrible places. Terrible in the sense of it should, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, just propositionally, how much more terrifying should it be when you're actually in his presence? It is obvious if a person understands this or not. It's obvious if a person believes this or not. This is reality of what we worship today. When we worship our Lord Jesus Christ in this tiny place, is the same as if you were in Rome at St. Peter's. This is just the reality of our faith. We just need to start appreciating that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.